All right, good to see you this morning. We're glad to be back in God's house here at Lone Mountain. Again, our prayers and concerns is that everybody is well. We've been praying for the body. We've been praying that everybody be protected from this virus. We're also praying that this virus will end so that we can get back to a little bit of normalcy. Again, it's always good to be in the house of the Lord, and I can't wait for the day that the governor lifts the restrictions and allows us to come back to church. We're able to meet in church capacity. I'm longing for that. I miss that. But anyways, we're here today. We're going to share a portion of God's Word. And today is Memorial, or this weekend is Memorial Day weekend. And of course, it's an important holiday, not just because we can get off work and because we can see our family and our friends. And those things are nice, but it's important because of what it's about. You see, Memorial Day began after the Civil War as a day to recognize the fallen soldiers who died fighting for what they believed in. It was originally called Decoration Day, as families would decorate the graves of the fallen soldiers with flowers, flags, and ribbons. But it didn't become an official holiday until 1967. And it is important that we don't forget those who have given their lives in the service to their country. And I just want to say that we're thankful for those men and women that fought for what they believed in, and they literally gave their lives so that we could enjoy the freedoms that we have here. But you see, the big difference between Independence Day and Memorial Day is this. 4th of July, we celebrate our freedoms. But at Memorial Day, we celebrate the sacrifices for those freedoms. You see, many men and women laid down their lives, sacrificed themselves so that we could enjoy the freedoms that we have today. But beloved, I want to tell you about the greatest sacrifice of all. The greatest sacrifice of all is that Jesus Christ, God's own begotten Son, was sent into this world for one reason and one reason only, and that was to die on the cross to provide redemption and salvation for all that will trust Him as their Lord and Savior. Oh, what a sacrifice by the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, with that said, let's take our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And again, we're going to stay in the Old Testament. Last week we were in Jeremiah chapter 2. And let me just say that Jeremiah chapter 2 and Deuteronomy chapter 8 pretty much parallel. You see, in Jeremiah 2 last week we were talking about forsaking the Lord. Be careful. Don't forsake the Lord. In this passage, we're warned in the Word of God not to forget God. They go hand in hand. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping His commandments, and His judgments, and His statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou shalt forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water? Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble himself, and that he might prove thee, and to do thee good at thy latter end? Thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this well. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, and you shall surely perish. Let's pray. Father, I love you and praise you. Please be with me now as I share your word. Give me the words to say. Bring to my memory those things I've studied, laid upon my heart. Let me preach with boldness and authority those truths. Lord, I just pray for the sick and the afflicted. Touch them, restore them to their health. Pray you'd continue to watch over our church and our families, Lord. Protect us from that virus, that corona. Lord, I just pray that in your time we'll be able to assemble again. Just look to you to watch over this body, Lord. It's your church. It's your people. Lord, I pray if there's one amongst us that knows not Christ and free pardon of sin, this would be the day they call upon the name of the Lord before it's eternally too late. Thank you again for those that have sacrificed themselves, given their lives, Lord, so that we might have the freedoms we enjoy today. May we always remember the price paid for those freedoms, Lord. And again, may everything said and done bring honor and glory to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First thing I want to say is in verse 11, notice the warning. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Listen to that stern warning. Beware. Look out. Watch. And make sure you don't forget the Lord your God. I think one of the biggest problems the modern day church has today is that we forget. We forget that God's God. We forget that He's sovereign. He's almighty. He's in control. We forget that Jesus is Lord and that He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. We forget that God's Word is authoritative. We forget that it's through His Word that God saves us. He changes us. He sanctifies us. He matures us. He transforms us. We forget that He's God. And beloved, we're warned in Scripture not to forget. I want to share a quote with you from an old preacher long ago. This is his quote. He said, "The majority of Americans claim to be Christian, and only a small percentage claim to be actual atheists. But the truth is, many within the church are functional atheists. In other words, they would never say they do not believe in God, but they live their lives like there is no God. Truly, they profess Christ with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him." Now, think about this for a second. Atheists do not pray. Neither do functional atheists. Even though they say there's a God, they don't pray. Their behavior doesn't line up with their profession. Atheists don't believe in the authority of God's Word. Neither do functional atheists. They might say that they believe it's God's Word, but it doesn't rule their lives. Think about that. Atheists don't believe in laying up treasure in heaven. Neither do functional atheists. They're too busy seeking all their treasures here on earth. Atheists only live for themselves and live for today. Functional atheists are no different. See, here's the difference. Atheists truly believe there's no God. But functional atheists say they believe in God, but their lives show that they really don't. Basically, the functional atheist is trying to hedge his bets just in case. He's become aware of the possibility that there is a God, and he's aware of the possibility that God is real, so he's trying to play the odds and cover all the bases. But here is the problem. It doesn't work that way. Jesus doesn't give us the option of riding the fence. He says, those that are not with me are against me. He says, if you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. He says you can't serve two masters. All through the New Testament, he makes the distinction. He separates the sheep and the goats. He separates the wheat and the chaff. He says, this is my church, my body, and this over here, it isn't. And I'll ask you, beloved, where do you stand? So basically, the functional atheist is someone who's forgotten God. Now, what does it mean to forget something or someone? Well, basically, it means that thing or that person are not in your thoughts or in your mind. That happens when other things are there in your thoughts and in your mind that shouldn't be there over God. You see, Monday through Saturday, the thoughts of God in most cases don't even cross the mind of those that claim to be Christians. Thoughts of living for Christ, loving Christ, worshiping Christ, it's only there one day a week. But the rest of the week, heart's far from Him. Isn't that sad? Why? Because we forget. And we're warned in Scripture after Scripture not to forget the Lord God. And church, here's the thing. This is something we all have to be watchful of. You, me, and every Christian out there. Go back to verse 11. And again, God says this to His people. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God. In other words, be careful that this doesn't happen to you. Take precautions that you're not forgetting God. That's what this says. But look at the last part of that verse. God says, take care so you don't forget. And here's how you do that. Keep His commandments and His rules and His statutes. How do you forget God? By not keeping His commandments and His rules and statutes. He goes on and says, take care that you don't forget God when life is good. When things are going well and we're comfortable and content with our place in life. Because you'll be tempted to forget about God. You'll not be going to Him every morning asking for your daily bread. You'll believe the lie of, I even don't want to call him pastor, but Joel Osteen there in Houston that has one of the largest churches in our country when he tells them that this here in life is the best you'll ever have. That's a lie. Listen to me. God, through the death and sacrifice of His Son, has given us everlasting life, those of us that have personally received Him into our hearts, and He has promised us to take us to heaven, a place prepared for prepared people. And listen, believe me, then, and only then, will it be the best, because God has the best for us, His children. What happens is that a person becomes content with these poor substitutes that the world offers. And their focus shifts. Instead of their goal being going out and making disciples, their goal is maintaining comfort and safety. Instead of their goal being to see more disciples made, their goal is maintaining what they've got. Instead of their goal being to strive towards living for Christ, they live for themselves. Beloved, that's where we're at today in this modern church age. It's all about me. my wants and my desires instead of the desire to please the Lord God. You see, here's the thing. All of us as fallen human beings, and that means all of us, the whole world was born with a sin nature. But all of us were born with atheistic hearts. We're born with a tendency to forget God. Amen? It's just that away. But if you go back to our text and look at what the Lord has told Moses to write in verses 14 through 16, you'll notice that he reminds them of what he has done for them. And let's go to verse 14. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock. There's a question. Who brought you forth out of the rock of flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter ends? Notice this is the second way that God warns us not to forget. First, he told us to keep his commandments. Second, we are to remind ourselves of what he's done in our lives. You know, one of the best ways you can talk to someone about God or even share the gospel with them is by sharing your testimony, telling them what God has done for you. Beloved, do you remember what God has done for you? Do you remember that life of sin? Do you remember how he delivered you from that addiction, that bondage? Do you remember how he forgave you of every sin and offered mercy and grace to you? Do you remember how it was when he saved you and changed you and made you a new creature in Christ? Do you remember? Beloved, one of the ways to not forget God is to remember all that he has done for us. Think about that. Psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed beg for bread. I've never been hungry one day in my life. I remember he's met my need time after time after time. He's provided shelter for me. I have raiment or clothing, if you will, on my back. I have transportation. I have groceries in the icebox, we say back home. You see, I remember what he's done for me. So many times, he's watched out for me. He's protected me. Oh, I am blessed. How about you, God? How about you? What's God done for you? Has he forgiven you? Has he delivered you? Has he changed you? Has he set you free from sin? We need to remind ourselves of those things. We need to share those things with others. So the Lord's telling us the way we don't forget about God is we keep his commandments and we continually remind ourselves of what he's done in our lives. And what he's done in history. He's still on his throne. But when you go on to verse 17, he gives us another warning. He says, beware lest you say in your heart. So it doesn't even have to be with words. You can say it in your heart. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. Beloved, that is the sin of pride. That is the sin of saying, I don't need God. I can do it on my own. Oh, I've met so many people have that attitude of pride, that what they've accomplished in life, they did it in their own strength, in their own hands, in their own capacity. Beloved, I'm here to tell you, they're wrong. And it is a sin not to recognize and forget that it's God that enabled us to have what we have. We do what we do because of the Lord. How many people have you ever heard say, I can make it on my own? Oh, I've heard that many times. There's Christians out there that would probably never verbalize that, but they can say it in their heart because our lives are our display of what's in our heart. You know that in the New Testament, when it talks about Jesus, it refers to him 24 times as Savior. But listen, it refers to him over 600 times as Lord. You see, functional atheists place themselves on the throne instead of the Lord. But beloved, you're not the Lord, neither am I. Jesus is Lord. Always be mindful. What does the word Lord mean? It means he's our master. He's the one who is to have control of us. He is our ruler. He's our boss. He owns us. He bought us with a price. And here's what Jesus says to us in Matthew 16:24. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow. Cross serves only one purpose. Anybody know what it is? Death. That's what the cross represents. Jesus is saying that we have to die to sin and die to self. Take ourselves off the throne and acknowledge that he is Lord. See? It's not enough. One day out of the year, we recognize those that have sacrificed themselves so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy. And let me say, it's not enough that one day out of the year, we remember who God is. We remember what he's done for us. And we remember that he is the Lord. The Word of God declares one day everyone is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Beloved, he's worthy and we should. See, it's not enough one day out of the year is enough of anything. If you eat one day out of the year, you're going to die. If you work at a job one day out of the year, you're going to be homeless and have nothing. You mow your yard one day out of the year, you're going to have a mess in your yard. If you bathe only one day out of the year, whew, you're going to stink. You see, what I'm trying to get across to you this morning is we can't just surrender and submit ourselves to God just one day out of a whole entire year. Live for him just one day, and the rest of the year, live for ourselves. It can't be done. We can't please God. We are warned here by Moses here in chapter 8. Don't forget the Lord thy God. Beloved, let's not forget. I want to talk about America just for a second. You know, our nation needs to get back to what it once was. not going to be taking up arms. It's not going to be about voting the right kind of people in. It's not going to be about legislation or politics. It's about what our text says. It's about remembering God. It's about remembering Jesus Christ. It's about following Him, obeying Him, living for Him. God tells us in the very last verse of our text, if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, you will surely perish. That's what's happening to our country today. We as a nation have forgot God. We've left Him out of the equation, and that's why we're suffering today. And listen, judgment is going to fall. I assure you, as sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit with my Bible open, I assure you one day judgment is coming. In fact, I believe God's already judging this country. I also believe He's judging His church. Because of one reason, and one reason only. We have forgotten God. We have forgotten His Word. We have forgotten to keep His commandments. And because of it, we're being judged. Well, let me ask you a question. Do we live our lives as if there's no God? Think about that and ask yourself. Are we living our lives as if there's no God? Are we serving the Lord Jesus Christ or ourselves? Who's seated on the throne of our hearts? Jesus or our own selves? You see, easy question. But what's the answer? When we sing the hymn, I Surrender All, our people know that. We sing that quite a bit here at Lone Mountain. Do we really mean it? Do we surrender all? Maybe you're here this morning and saying, Pastor John, I'm being honest. I have to say that there's things in my life that I haven't surrendered to the Lordship of Christ. I need to do that, don't I? Yes, you do. He needs to be the Lord of your life. Not just your Savior. See, you know, lots of folks, He's their Savior. And I thank God that He's willing to save us when we call upon the name of the Lord. And He will save us because He's faithful. Most times we're not. But listen to me, just because He's your Savior, that doesn't mean He's the Lord of your life, which means you're totally surrendered to keeping His commandments and serving Him. You see, the sad thing is most people, I'll use the word again, functioning atheists, most of them are afraid to surrender to the Lordship of Christ because they're afraid of what God might ask them to do. Well, preacher, God might ask me to go to some faraway land that I've never been to and leave my family to serve Him in. I don't want to do that. Or God might ask me to give up something that I really like. I don't want to get rid of. And what they do is they convince themselves not to fully surrender and allow the Lord to be the Lord of their lives. They're missing out. Are you one of those functioning atheists this morning? Are you one of those that hadn't totally surrendered? Again, we're warned in Scripture. Be aware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes. Kind of jumps off the page, doesn't it? puts the rubber to the road. Be warned. Beware. Not to forget the Lord God. I pray you're here under the sound of my voice. God has spoken to your heart this morning that you're willing to obey His voice. Whatever it is He's speaking to your heart to do. Again, maybe you've called upon Him. He is your Savior. But now He's speaking to your heart to make Him the Lord of your life. Would you obey His voice and do that? Maybe you're here and He's not your Savior or the Lord of your life. If He's not your Savior, my prayer is that His Holy Spirit has convinced you of that need right here and right now, and that you'll bow your head right where you are and you'll ask Him to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart and be your Savior. And not just your Savior, but the Lord of your life. You see, we need to remember who He is. We need to live for. As I close again, as we celebrate this holiday, being reminded of the sacrifices made by those that gave their lives for the freedoms we enjoy today, I'll say it again to remind you. The greatest sacrifice of all was when God looked out of heaven to a lost world, folks dying, separated from Him. And God said to His Son, go down there, be an example, go to the cross and lay your life down so that those people might be forgiven and reconciled to Me. That was the greatest sacrifice of all for mankind. And He did it for only one reason. Not because we deserved it, but because He loves you and me. Call upon Him. Trust Him. You'll be glad you did. Let's pray. Father, again, we take this little passage, and Lord, we do our best to understand it, apply these words to our hearts and lives. Father, I want to always be mindful to always have You in my thoughts and in my mind. Never want to forget You, Lord. I always want to be mindful of all of those things You've done for me. And Lord, I want You to be the Lord of my life. So Father, I fully submit and surrender. And Lord, I thank You for this passage. I pray that there's others that Your Holy Spirit has dealt with. And even as I'm praying now, they're praying, Lord, surrendering themselves to You. Praying most of all, if there's one that's never been saved, that Your Holy Spirit is dealing with their hearts of that need right now. And Lord, that they'll call upon You. Be saved before it's eternally too late. I thank You again for those that have given their lives, service to their country, and the sacrifice they made. We might enjoy the freedoms that we have today, the liberties. But most of all, I thank You for that sacrifice for me, a sinner, and the liberty I have being forgiven of my sins, delivered from bondage. Lord, I thank You that I can say that I am a child of the King. Be the sick, be the afflicted, watch over them, protect them. Lord, again, help us here at Lone Mountain to be a light in this community. We ask these things in the blessed name of Jesus our Savior. Amen. I pray that you've been blessed by the Word of God this morning. Again, I pray as we celebrate Memorial Day, you'll take the time to be reminded of those that have given their lives service of their country. Just be mindful. It ain't all about day off and having a cookout. It's about remembering those that gave their lives. But above all, remember what Jesus has done for you. Amen. All right, God bless you until we're able to meet together in church capacity. Take care of yourselves. Let's just pray that we'll be able to meet soon. We love you. And again, God bless you. We'll see you. Thank you.